the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. Here is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. I have Adino Ward, and I ran across him, you know, on the internet. His power, his punch, his posts are very politically inspired. They're very thought-provoking. So I said, let me reach out to him. And plus, those dreads are really fascinating. He's a real cool brother. He's smart. He went to Temple University. He's into technology. But he also goes hard on social media and with his opinion. So we're going to banter back and forth. We're going to agree to disagree here on the Edge. You know, I don't do a lot of politics, but I do a whole lot of civil activist work. And when is civil not civil or right anymore? We're going to find out with our guest, Adino Ward. Welcome to On the Edge. How you doing, brother?
Very good, very good. Listen, it's a pleasure being on with you, April, and I thank you very much for obviously reaching out to me and for the opportunity as well. I obviously am very aware of you and the extent of, I guess you could say, you know, overall proficiency of your show and how you approach the subjects and those who obviously you interview. So I feel privileged. I feel, you know, very honored to be in good company with you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. There's so much to learn. So tell us a little bit about who is Adino Ward.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm just a ordinary guy, black guy, obviously, who has, you know, been blessed to the degree of really being able to have various experiences in life and obviously meet various people who shaped, you know, my thinking, my endeavor to really do some very positive things in society, and I've kind of followed that that dream, you know, as it's progressed throughout my life.
Right.
And you know, I'm a business owner. I own four businesses. One in the yeah, definitely. One in the tech industry, basically dealing with you know, a lot of the technology for companies. The second basically being Demdred Productions, which is media designed with Tivity in mind is my slogan. And that largely has to do with the African-American community, my community, and the aspect of our intellect, our creation, our problems, and obviously how we have fared, you know, as a people basically in this society and in the world.
Right.
I also do voiceovers for radio and television, and last but not least, I produce and have produced for many years music, but I largely do a very eclectic mix of a combination of house music and jazz.
Really? Do you use any lyrics? Do you need any lyricists? Because I'm, you know, I'm the poet, and everybody know it, so we can collaborate
well,
on
some that,
jingles and make
yeah.
some money.
That is something to definitely talk about because, yeah, you know, I do a lot of... like I said, house with jazz, but basically I don't really get into the vocals too heavily per se, but that's something to definitely look at. I would love to collaborate with you on that.
So let me ask you a question. I'm going to go layer by layer because you are a very, not complicated man, but you have many, many facets to you. So we talked a little bit about your professional life. Let's go deep and talk about the dreads. Do you remember, oh, maybe 6-7 months ago when there was that young wrestler that had to have his dreads cut before he could compete? Do you remember that?
Most certainly. As a matter of fact, yeah, I do. Happened not too far from me in New Jersey, as
right.
a matter of fact.
So I bring
and,
that up.
You know.
I bring that up as a cultural awareness for all of my non, you know, Afrocentric or black or Hispanic descent. You know, I got brains all over the world. But I want them to understand the power, the information, the energy that is held within dreadlocks and how they're all unique. I mean, your dreads go down, what, past your waist?
Yes, yeah, they were on the ground. I had to cut them last January, basically, of 2018, because I got tired of stepping on them, you know, all the time. And
okay,
it really
so
hurt
now
my
let
heart.
Me ask
I
you a question.
I did not want to cut them.
All right. So with mm-hmm. all of that, number one, I know is heavy. Number two, you know, maintaining them. But number three, and most importantly, why? Why do it? What does it mean to you?
Well,
what does it hold for you?
Let me start basically at the first point. They're not heavy. There are two types of dreads, and a lot of folks don't really know a lot about this unless you have them. But there are two types of dreads. There are basically what are called the cultivated and the uncultivated. The cultivated are like mine. They're very evenly spaced. They're much thinner, so they're not heavy. The uncultivated would be more like the Rastafari, who grow them basically, and they grow them very thick and very heavy. Those are neck breakers because they are very heavy and what have you. So that's the big difference. Mine are cultivated and they're not. The second part, basically, the maintenance of them is like very simple. I mean, it's like anyone else's hair. You wash and you go and what have you. The only problem for me, basically, and anyone with dreads most of the time is it probably takes about basically, you know, a day or two for them to dry because they do hold water. So you have to make sure you obviously wring them out, and I just go sit on the deck in the sun and let the sun do the rest, except for the winter. The winter I can't do that. and the last point on the wisdom of it, dreads basically are an ancient hairstyle. I mean, you know, I'm thinking of doing a documentary, basically a short documentary on dreadlocks because they go back before even Jesus. And there is a certain wisdom, a certain power that exists basically with the dread. I always say basically, you know, that the dread is wisdom. It gives you a sense of not only individuality, but it gives you a sense of basically thinking in a very different context from everyone else. Because, I mean, you know, you have this thing basically with the hair that everyone is attracted to and everyone wants to know about. And it gives you a certain mentality, which is just very peaceful, very aware and very conscious of, you know, the things that go on around you and how to really approach them and apply yourself to them. It's just anxious.
And it holds a lot of your energy, too. It holds a lot of your power because your energy, when you change or you cut your hair immediately, you know, when you cut off several inches, you know, from them dragging on the ground, I'm sure that you felt something different. So it really connects us to the earth. I want to talk about your connection to humanity. You have had so many great experiences with so many thought leaders, civil rights leaders, activists, political pundits, as professionals, and you've got a very strong opinion. You're full of peas there.
my mother used to say that, basically. So that's interesting you say that.
Really? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she used to tell me, basically, you know, you're full of peas. You're, like, you know, very opinionated.
Oh, yeah. That's good because I like that. So let's just jump right in with both feet. This political kerfuffle here in the White House is driving me crazy, but you know what? It's a part of the distraction. It's a part of the master plan. And you go hard on your opinions and your posts on the adversary. So tell us a little bit about your history in politics and why you go so hard.
Well, I mean, you know, listen, this is all such a bizarre situation, but for our people, black people, this is not new. This bizarrity has existed with us since basically, you know, we were taken from the shores of Africa and brought here and dropped on these shores in 1619. We have seen the awesome and just devastating power of supremacy, and in particular white supremacy. It has followed our history. It has been an albatross around our neck. And, you know, I've seen so much of it growing up. I you know, am about to turn 65, and I'm like just
65.
Dismayed at the fact that, you know, yeah, I'll be
really?
The end of this month, the 29th. I will be 65
years
old.
Well, you look gorgeous.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's God basically in, you know, trying to live, you know, as peaceful and as good as I possibly can, April. That's all I can attribute that to. But, you know, I've just seen so much, and you know, I'm watching this, and I'm just saying, you know, this is all stuff that I've seen basically throughout the history of our people and that I saw and began to become aware of when I was 8 years old, you know. And my father, you know, said at that point, well, you know, now I think you have the ability to comprehend what all of this is. And the first thing he did basically in that was he introduced me to Malcolm X, and I mean literally.
Wow.
I did not know that the people who lived next door to us were involved basically with the Nation of Islam. It was always very quiet. But when I was growing up, I used to see these big cars come once a year. And, you know, these folks would get out and they would, you know, stay at the folks' house next door. And I'm not going to mention their names because obviously, again, there were certain things that just took place with all of this. I would not want to put that out there. But, you know, I didn't know who they were. My brother and I used to play on the lawn, and we had no idea who these people were going into the house. And then when I was 8 years old, one day my father said, listen, you know, I want to take you next door and I'd like you to meet someone. And he takes me next door, and lo and behold, this guy that I have been seeing on TV, that I have been reading, you know, basically books on, you know, that school has been, you know, presenting to us, he's sitting right here. It's Malcolm X.
Wow.
And the interesting part was I got to spend 15 minutes talking to him, and I was very impressed with him, very impressed basically, you know, with the things that he was saying. And, you know, it really made me think. And what I didn't know was that the woman who was the mother of the children in that house basically was his administrative secretary. And I had no idea.
Okay.
And the two brothers were his bodyguards. And whenever he came into Philadelphia, he would go to Mosque number 32, which was at Broad and Erie, and was under the auspices of Minister Jeremiah Shabazz. And I had been there a few times, so I knew, you know, exactly what the mosque was and who controlled it. But, I mean, it was very inspirational because this man was real. He was real in the context of the fact that basically he really cared about his people. And from there, you know, my father introduced me to, like, a lot of the Panthers because on South Street in Philly, they used to come in basically, you know, and Huey, Bobby Seals. You know, so I got to really meet some of these cats and talk with them. And I'll never forget the thing that was so appalling about the whole, you know, Black Panther thing in Philly was this police commissioner, Rizzo, who was, you know, just a staunch racist. And what have you. I mean, just totally a staunch racist. And what he did to them, he literally went into the Black Panther headquarters on South Street and raided it. And these guys had done nothing. I mean, the Panthers never did anything. And he made all of these Black Panthers in full view of the public, in full view of the television cameras, in full view basically of the photographers. He made them strip naked on the street. And all you saw were basically naked Black men holding their privates, rear ends, and everything exposed. I mean, he literally – and
but
he,
I bet
this
they
is all archived.
Was tight and shined up with some cocoa butter.
it was crazy. I mean, we have never seen
awful.
Anything like that.
Well,
it
you
was.
Know,
and,
it,
I mean,
yeah,
this
it was
is all
the
documented
time.
History.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have to – you know, you can go see all of it.
It's awful, but you know what? This is what I want to ask, Adino. How do we show up differently? You know, every time somebody used the word nigga, every time the word they say you're a black bitch, every time somebody shows up in blackface, why are we still letting us penetrate us? Why is it saturating our soul? We have to learn to show up differently to get a different reaction. It's just like a dumping ground. When they use any of those narratives, we just all backed up in arms. We hear it on the television. This is nothing new, you know, but our reaction has to be different. Give us some suggestions from your perspective. How can we show up differently?
Well, the first thing basically is this. Everyone has got to understand that if you do not control the narrative, then you will not control your message. If someone else is controlling your narrative, then they are going to control your message, and that is the most basic element in our history. Our narrative has never been our own, and it is controlled by someone else. And like you just said, they do things, basically, and we don't react to them in the way that we should. I believe very firmly that we need to start to set a precedent where we really deny the system of supremacy access to us. Because as long as they have access to us, they have the ability to basically do what they're doing. I mean,
okay, wait,
clear.
Pump your brakes. Wait, mm-hmm. Pump your brakes right there. When you say mm-hmm. access to us, what are you saying?
What
I mean
like is,
I'm being invaded by an alien. What are you saying?
What I mean is, you know, we need to curtail the extent to which we go into their world. It's like a biblical thing almost, April. They being basically white supremacy, the system of supremacy, the overarching system of this country that has been pervasive in our existence from slavery up to now.
This world.
The world is the world.
Anything lighter than a coffee color is considered tainted for some reason all over the world. So this is not new just to the United States. I mean, much like you, I've traveled the world, and I see anybody with a darker shade of anything, they're always subjected to less than when they really don't realize how rich and cultivated we really are and our experience and our contribution to the world, you know, society.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some great civil rights activists on my show, the great Jane Elliott, the Blue Eye, Brown Eye Project. And I've talked to her and other people. What are the millennials? Are you talking to any young people? Are they still having this conversation? Because the ones I'm talking to are talking about world peace and clean water and sustainable food sources. They're not talking color lines. What are you hearing?
Well, there are some basically that are talking color lines, but they are, in my opinion, the ones who understand the nature of basically, you know, what it is to be, you know, black, indigenous, and brown in the world. And they understand that you could have all the clean water in the world, but if you are not privy to that clean water, because basically, you know, someone else controls it, and by virtue of your color, you're going to get, you know, the tainted water. Look at Flint, Michigan. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
What difference does it make if you're all involved in basically a clean world? I mean, look, let's be honest. Elon Musk is not trying to get to Mars simply behind the fact that it's an adventure. These fools are trying to get off the planet because basically when things go wrong, they're out. They're on to a whole new deal, and we're left here basically, you know, because we don't have the money and we don't have that kind of power. We don't have that economy. So don't fool yourself. These people are not trying to get off the planet just because they want to get off the planet. They know what they're doing. They're destroying the planet, and they know it.
Exactly.
And when the time comes, basically, they have the resources, the wealth, and the ability. They're like, you know, hey, my name is Wes, and I am out of this mess.
Mm-hmm.
And you all are stuck with it. And see, that's the thing that I don't get. Yeah, okay, we need to understand that, listen, I don't care what else goes on. If we are not right in a society, and when I say right, I mean being treated equally and right in the society, all this other stuff is irrelevant because it's not going to basically benefit us because someone else controls it. It's the narrative again. Someone else controls the narrative. They control the message.
Exactly. And so I was just talking to another one of my guests, media mogul, Mr. Bernie Randall Jr., and same thing as ownership. You know, look at Ebony Magazine. I mean, Johnson Publications, that was a staple in our community.
Gone.
You kidding me? Gone. You know, poof. So,
and all the photos, all of the photos basically that institution embarked upon and that they have archived. It will be lost and taken from us because you know what? Unless some black person steps in and secures that information is gone. It's ghost.
Right.
It is going to go the way of basically jazz. It's going to go the way of
the way
blues.
Of Notre Dame.
It's going to go the way of hip hop. Yes, it's going to go.
Did you see that fire?
And
that
we will not be in control.
So everything is evolving, including you and your endeavors. I have enjoyed this conversation immensely. Thank you so much for joining me and my brains here on The Edge with April Mahoney. Please tell them how to get in contact with you so you can get in the mix, do what you do, get some music out there, some technology, some wisdom. How are we going to get in contact with you?
Listen, all you have to do is basically go to demdred.aw@gmail.com, or you can go to demdred@demdred.com. The phone number is 215-802-4718, and the website and everything else, Facebook, will come up and give you all the information to connect, Instagram, it's all there. And so everyone knows, I will be starting a podcast called Kicking the Actual Factuals, Dem Dread, and that'll start basically the end of this month. And also basically that will,
congratulations.
Oh, thank you. It'll go into a video podcast as well. So I'll be doing a lot basically in terms of video and so on. And I'm working on several other short documentary projects.
Well, we should collaborate. I got some ideas. Well, you want to put it in the mix?
Now that I know, now that I know basically, and we have this connection, we will be talking a lot, April. I assure you.
All right.
One of the things that I am looking at. I am looking at building basically something that we need, and that is a consortium of black, intellect, black basically progress, black creativity, and people basically forming these, collaborative situations in groups that have power, that basically, obviously control the narrative, control the message. And it doesn't have to be one group. It could be basically, a culmination of many groups, but all with the same ideology, moving in the same direction for the same purpose, which is the freedom of our people. Because, my God, I mean, look, I may have, 18, 20 years, if God blesses me with that. And I stand the same situation that I've seen. I will see basically my life end as I saw my grandfather's end, as I saw my father's, and every one of them said the same thing. It will be different for you.
Right.
My grandfather said that to my father, and yet he died, and it was not different for him. My father basically is now gone, and he said the same thing to me, and I am approaching that point, and it is not different for me. How long do our ancestors have to keep dying?
It is going to be different. It's going to be different because we will not be denied as a people. But again, we are all people. We are all a mixture, a combination. Mm-hmm. And if we just get over that just nonsense and that boring conversation of the color of our skin, like Martin Luther King always said, but the content of your character, that's huge. And that's what we do on the edge here. We want to get into the content of your character. That's why we have diverse conversations about everything, mental health, social health, foster care, Bitcoin, business, tax referrals. We're doing it all over the planet right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that's great.
Listen to other edgy conversations. Thank you so much, Adino, for coming here, and I appreciate you and value you. Stay connected with me. I'm looking forward to doing some work with you real soon, making some money.
Thank you. I appreciate it now. And listen, you have a very good day and a very blessed day.
Love you, brains.
Love you, too, now, and you take care.